Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're doing something a little different. This deep dive is AI generated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's based on a YouTube conversation between champion flycaster Nick Moore and expert instructor Paul Arden.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to unpack their insights on distance casting and how it relates to your fly fishing.
Awesome.
Get ready for some surprising tips and aha moments, even if you've never thought about casting competitions before.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think distance casting is just for, like, you know, this competition. But there's so much we can learn from it.
Exactly. And to be fully transparent, before we dig in, I should mention that because this is AI generated, there might be a few inaccuracies here and there.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
But we've done our best to extract the golden nuggets from their conversation.
Right.
And of course, we want to give huge thanks to Paul and Nick for sharing their knowledge. It helps us all improve our casting.
For sure. Those guys are legends.
Yeah. And for the full experience, you can always check out the original YouTube video. The link is in the show notes.
Definitely worth a watch.
But for now, let's dive into their insights.
Yep.
So first up, why bother with distance casting?
Yeah, isn't fly fishing all about delicate presentations and fooling wary fish? Like, why do we need to chuck it a mile?
Right, that's what I thought too. But Paul and Nick emphasize that it's about much more than just reaching those distant fish.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's about building a foundation of skills that translates to all aspects of your fishing.
So it's not just about, like, raw power.
Exactly. When you can cast further, you can cast into the wind more effectively.
That makes sense.
You can make those long, precise shots when needed.
Right.
And you can even improve your accuracy at shorter distances.
So it's kind of like cross-training for athletes. Like, it builds overall strength even if you're not competing in every event.
Precisely. And Nick actually shares a great anecdote about how he hit a wall at 90 feet.
Oh, wow.
Then saw huge improvements after he got some toaching.
That's encouraging to hear.
It is. Yeah. And it really highlights that even experienced anglers can benefit from expert guidance. And we all have those plateaus we can break through.
For sure. So if someone wants to improve their distance casting, where do they even begin?
Right. Are we talking about hours of grueling practice on the lawn?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
Both Paul and Nick actually stress the benefit of, like, little and often practice.
Little and often. Okay.
Yeah. Even like 20 minutes a day can make a difference.
That's doable.
If you're consistent, yeah.
Makes sense. But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They recommend practicing from a high vantage point.
Wait a minute. From a high vantage point, what? Like standing on a roof?
Exactly. Think a car roof.
All right.
A balcony. Anything that gives you an elevated view.
Okay.
The idea is to analyze your loop shape without worrying about hitting the ground.
I see.
Paul even used to practice while overlooking the River Wye.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Can you imagine that view?
Talk about scenic practice sessions,
right?
You're right. But I see how that would help you focus on loop control.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing is pretty crucial for distance casting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It allows you to isolate that key element and see your casting mechanics in a whole new way.
Mm.
Plus, you don't need any fancy equipment or a huge amount of space.
That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. I like that. Any other practice gems that they shared?
Absolutely. They emphasize the importance of focusing on straight line rod movement, and they have some great drills to help with that.
Okay.
Nick, for example, recommends the mirror exercise, practicing your casting motions in front of a mirror.
Oh, that's interesting.
To identify any tracking errors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what a mirror can reveal about your casting.
Right. It's so simple, but so effective.
And, you know, we're already starting to see how these distance casting principles can benefit any angler, even if they're not aiming for those record-breaking casts.
Exactly. It's all about building a solid foundation of skills that translate to every aspect of your fishing.
Absolutely. And speaking of pushing boundaries, let's talk about a technique that really challenges conventional casting wisdom.
Mm.
The 170.
Oh, yeah, the 170. I've heard about this.
Yeah, have you tried it?
I've seen videos of it. It looks intense.
It does. So from what I gather, the 170 technique is this game changer for distance and wind penetration.
Right.
That involves a longer carry and a totally different stroke.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate power move in fly casting.
It is. Instead of stopping your rod tip high, you drive it almost straight down towards the ground.
Like you're trying to spear the water?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Like blasting through a finish line with your rod tip. So you're not just stopping the rod abruptly.
Right.
You're almost exaggerating that downward motion.
Interesting. So you're defying what we're typically taught about stopping high to create a tight loop?
Exactly. The 170 defies that convention. And it leverages a longer carry and a powerful downward stroke to generate some serious line speed.
I'm starting to see why this technique is so fascinating.
Yeah.
But it sounds pretty unconventional. Do you think it's something everyday anglers can actually learn and benefit from?
That's a great question, and one we'll explore further as we unpack the intricacies of the 170. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
We're going even deeper into the world of distance casting with Paul Arden and Nick Moore.
Right, and before we jump back into that 170 technique,
okay.
I want to touch on something you said earlier about how those distance casting principles can benefit any angler, even at shorter distances.
Yeah, it's all about those foundational skills that elevate your casting no matter what situation you're in.
Exactly, and this ties into what Paul and Nick emphasize throughout their conversation. You know, it's not just about brute force.
Right.
It's about finesse and understanding the mechanics.
It's almost like a mental game.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, it's about being present, focused, and in tune with your movements.
Absolutely. And with that in mind, let's get back to the 170 technique.
Okay.
We left off talking about how it challenges conventional casting wisdom with its longer stroke and a powerful downward motion.
Right. It's like defying gravity to generate line speed. But how does a loop that starts out wider actually turn over at such long distances?
That's a great question, and the answer lies in a fascinating concept they call loop morph.
Loop morph, okay.
Yeah, so as the loop travels that top leg, the part going towards the target is moving so fast that its trajectory is already set.
Okay.
And then the tension from the line trailing behind causes the loop to tighten up in flight.
So it's almost like the loop is self-correcting.
Precisely. It's this beautiful interplay of physics and timing.
Wow.
And it only works because of that long line extending behind the loop, which creates the necessary tension for it to morph and turn over.
That's incredible. It's like the line is almost a living thing.
It is a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this highlights why the 170 doesn't work with shorter lines. You need that mass and momentum for the loop to morph effectively.
It all comes back to carry, which makes me think about their line choices.
Yeah.
They're big proponents of long-headed lines, especially double tapers.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear more about that. Why double tapers? What's the advantage there?
Well, as you might have guessed, double tapers excel at carrying a lot of line effortlessly.
Okay.
Which is crucial for wind casting and, of course, for techniques like the 170.
Right. But beyond carry, what are the benefits of those longer heads in general?
They talk a lot about control and versatility.
Okay.
So with a longer head, you have more line outside the rod tip.
Okay.
Which gives you more options for mending, manipulating your fly, and adjusting your presentation.
So it's like having more line to play with.
Precisely. And in windy conditions, that extra line can be a game changer.
Mm.
It allows you to make those subtle adjustments without disrupting your drift or spooking fish. Think about fishing a streamer across a current.
Okay.
Or presenting a dry fly delicately on a choppy surface. That's where longer heads really shine.
So it's about matching your line to the specific fishing conditions and techniques you're using.
Absolutely. They emphasize that line choice should be based on your maximum carry and the type of fishing you do. What works for a competition caster might not be ideal for someone fishing small streams, for example.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot where your line, casting style, and the fishing environment all come together.
I love that. You know, we've been diving deep into these technical aspects of distance casting.
Yeah.
But I'm curious how all this translates to everyday fishing scenarios.
Mm.
What are the key takeaways for someone who might not be chasing record distances, but still wants to improve their casting?
That's a great question, and it's something we'll explore further in part three.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been getting schooled on distance casting.
Yeah, Paul and Nick have dropped some serious knowledge.
They really have. I'm ready to grab my rod and hit the water.
Me too. It's inspiring to hear from folks who've truly mastered their craft.
It is. And as we wrap up, I think it's important to emphasize that the lessons we've learned from them go way beyond just casting for distance.
Right. It's about those underlying principles like efficiency, precision,
yep,
and always pushing to improve.
They embody that growth mindset.
Right.
Always analyzing and refining their technique.
For sure. And they're not afraid to challenge conventional wisdom.
Exactly. Like we saw with the 170 technique.
Totally. It reminds us that sometimes the best approaches are the ones that kind of break the mold.
And even if we don't all adopt the 170, that mindset of experimenting and pushing boundaries is so valuable.
Absolutely. Remember Nick's story about that 90-foot wall he hit?
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that plateaus are normal.
Yeah.
And breaking through them often takes a fresh perspective or trying something new.
It's encouraging to hear that even champions face those moments of doubt.
It makes it feel more relatable, right?
Definitely. It humanizes the whole pursuit.
And speaking of making things relatable, I think one of the biggest takeaways is their emphasis on consistent practice.
Yeah, you don't need to spend hours and hours to improve.
Right, even short bursts of focused practice can move the needle.
Like those drills Nick mentioned, the mirror exercise.
Exactly, easy to fit into your routine.
Totally, it's about being intentional with your practice time and focusing on those key elements.
Right, and once you've got that solid foundation, you can start experimenting with different techniques and lines.
Finding what clicks for you.
Yeah.
And that brings us back to their love of long-headed lines, those double tapers.
Right.
I was surprised at first, to be honest, especially with the trend towards shorter, heavier lines these days.
I hear you.
But their reasoning makes sense.
It all boils down to control, versatility, and that wind penetration.
Yeah, those longer heads let you carry more lines so effortlessly.
Giving you more options for mending, subtle adjustments, and presenting your fly with precision.
Especially in tough conditions.
And like they said, if you're carrying enough line, you don't have to shoot as much into the wind.
Less tangles, more accuracy. It's all about efficiency.
Exactly.
So to wrap things up, what does all this mean for our listeners?
The biggest takeaway. Distance casting principles can make you a better caster, period.
Even if you're not chasing those crazy distances.
It's about understanding the mechanics, developing smooth power application, nailing your tracking.
And choosing the right lines for your style and the type of fishing you do.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And maybe most importantly, it's about that growth mindset, always learning, always improving.
And never being afraid to question conventional wisdom, right?
Absolutely. We've only scratched the surface of this awesome conversation.
If you're intrigued, definitely check out the full YouTube video.
Link is in the show notes. Until next time, happy casting.